acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Opening lines are important. Call me Ishmael, from Moby Dick. And from Anna Karenina, happy families are all alike. Every unhappy family is unhappy in its own way. Lolita, love of my life and fire of my loins, from Nabokov. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom. It was the age of foolishness. It was the epoch of belief. It was the epoch of incredulity. It was the season of light. It was the season of darkness. It was the season of hope. It was the winter of despair, from A Tale of Two Cities. So I have a confession to make. The opening lines of the Lord's Prayer have always made me uncomfortable. Once we get to the "give us this day our daily bread" baker that I am, I'm all in. So by that time, I do feel myself being coaxed back from a remove to which I've retreated. A couple of people, having read the Weekly Courier's teaser about today's service, surmised that it was calling God Father, to which I object. And in some sense, they are right, because though I value deeply the intimate and familial relationship of the Trinity, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and hear Jesus calling Abba, Daddy, to call God Father or Mother shrinks God for me, limits God, reduces God to God on my terms, God for me, which doesn't for a minute suggest that I don't think that God is as close to us as breathing and as distant as the farthest star. But it is also the truth that I believe that God is greater and larger and more expansive than I can begin to fathom. So we hold this great mystery, don't we, as part of our faith and our reverence. We hold it in wonder and awe, a transcendent God and an immanent God. Whatever we call God, whatever name we use to address the holy, sacred, divine Creator, will always be metaphorical and inadequate in some sense. And it will hold the tension of both how close God is and at the same time how enormous and beyond our reckoning. This is why in the Hebrew tradition, naming God was so controversial. They didn't do it. In Exodus, Moses asked God what God's name is, and in doing so, he's asking not how to address God, but who God is. The response is essentially the inevitable, "I am eternal and redeeming." How do you spell that? Y-H-V-H, Yahweh, comes closest, and its root is in the verb to be. That's a far cry from mother or father. But beyond even the name used in addressing God, what does not draw me in at the beginning of the Lord's Prayer is the next part, "Who art in heaven." And even though I believe that heaven is not a geographical location up in the stratosphere or past even our galaxy, or that it is a time yet to come, what I hear is that God is someplace else. It's childish, and I don't actually believe this, but this prayer is so ingrained in my psyche and soul that I feel it with a child's envisioning, as many of us do. So moving on to "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," then further affirms my sense that this kingdom is far off, that it's distant in both time and space from where my feet are planted right now in this earthy little tiny Charlotte, Vermont. Honestly, it makes me feel a little lonely and left out, like someone who was passed over at the time of the rapture. The crux of this part, however, can be heard as suggesting that the coming of God's kingdom, whatever we might envision it to be, is beyond our agency. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So is God going to do something mysterious that will suddenly implant the kingdom at our feet? The rest of the prayer is so elemental and practical in its talk of bread and forgiveness and humility and temptation and deliverance that I'm totally on board. But I stumble to the starting line. I trip on my way to the altar, and maybe that's as it should be, because in order for us to be ready to receive God's redemption, we must first long for it. We must thirst and hunger for righteousness and to honor God, to pay homage to God's enormity and great mystery does bring us to our knees in supplication and wonder. Through learning to move this prayer with Kristen Borquist, actually embodying its suggestive and inviting meanings, I've come to feel it in its perfect sense. And I've come to see that its name is wrong for me. It's not the Lord's Prayer. It's ours. It's yours and it's mine. It is ultimately what in one form or another we do every day. It's a prayer that helps us meet God, that guides us to be open to receive God's holy and redeeming love so that we might live our lives creating and nurturing the kingdom of heaven right here. It prepares us to be channels for God's grace, encouraging us to cleanse our bodies and souls of all that gets in the way of our serving and loving others. Lord, it says, make me an instrument of your peace. Grace and peace. Now Kristen is going to come.